Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. If you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.
Welcome to the Dirty Playologist. It took some doing, but we drugged Keisha and Barb into the studio to record. They're going to be digging deep and getting to the roots of play. Things like knowledge, skills, understanding, and power. Here are your hosts, Keisha and Barb.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Dirty Playologists. This is Keisha here with my lovely co-host,
Barbara Sheridan. So today I get to be on the spot. Isn't that right, Keisha?
Yes, we're going to play a little game called 20 Questions Forest School Edition. And I'm going to ask you 20 questions. Are you ready?
Is that the first question?
No. Oh. Nice try. No, okay. Question number one. How did you start your forest school?
I started my forest school basically because I was working doing home education programs out of Toronto area. And my son was going to a Waldorf home daycare, which was really good, and it was outdoors almost all the time, and he was doing fabulous. And when I moved up to Barrie, I was moving more of my work up to Barrie, so wasn't going into Toronto as much. I needed something up here, and when I came up here, there really wasn't much. Like, he was outside 6 out of every 8 hours a day sometimes, or most days, I should say. And there really wasn't that much of an outdoor kind of experience for kids. It was usually just 2 or 3 hours. And so when I was Googling around, I saw this neat concept called forest school. So I started looking around trying to see if I could find something that followed sort of the forest school philosophy. I did find an outdoor kindergarten. However, it was curriculum-based at least at that point, which I wasn't really looking for. But I found the forest school philosophy, and there was nothing around, but I did find training for it. So off I went, gathered up the children, and down I went and got forest school trained and kind of never looked back from there.
Wow. So how long have you done it?
Oh, good Lord. I guess we're in our 5th year now. So, yeah, this is the 5th year the school's been open.
Wow. Do you think you'll do this forever? Is it like...
I'll do it as long as they'll let me.
All right, well, what do you wear in the summer? Like, when it's like the dead summer, what is your dress code?
The dress code for the kids or the dress code for me?
For you. This is all about you right now. What do you wear
as the leader? I wear sweaters in the summer.
I forgot. I forgot who I was talking to. I wear sweaters
and long pants. I'm a very cold person, so... I usually maybe twice a year will wear shorts. And that's about it. And those are like the really, really hot days. But most of the time, I have at least a long sleeve shirt on, sweater most of the time. Definitely long pants. So.
Okay, I'm scared to ask the next question.
Uh-oh.
If you wear a sweater and long pants in the summer, I don't even want to know what do you wear in the winter?
Oh, boy. I just came from a conference. And yes, I was the most wackily dressed there, but I was also the warmest. Because... being a person who's cold all the time and being an outdoor person, I want to make sure that I am dressed to the nines so that, because I like being outside, but I don't like being cold outside. So yeah, I actually have, this is an interesting story. I actually have a parka that is an oil rigger's parka from Russia. there's a story I got passed along to my mom. There's a whole story there, but I'll just say I got passed along to my mom through a parent at her school. And because she used to do outdoor recess every morning, and so she had it for about 10 years. And you know, I don't, you know, for those who work at schools and do outdoor recess, you know, there's not a lot of activity. It's mainly standing around watching the kids until the bell rings. So it did her well. And then when I got into the outdoor field, she passed it along to me. So I have my big parka, which I think is a minus 80 or something. I have my hunting boots that I wear as well. I wear hunting boots on my feet, and I couldn't tell you how many grams of thinsulated is, but I do know those are about minus 60 or 70 as well. And then, of course, wool socks and wool unders and wool overs and then a shirt and then a sweater.
Wow,
I'm very warm when I'm out. But, I mean, the other thing you have to keep in mind, too, is dressing for when you're being active is a lot different for dressing for facilitation. Because facilitation, you have to do a lot of watching, you have to do a lot of observing and stepping in. Whereas, like, if I was going to go on a ski hill, I would wear very different clothes than I would going out and doing facilitation. Which, again, that worked really well for me at the conference, because a lot of the conference is you go out, you're standing there listening to the person doing the workshop, and they're talking while you're standing there for 10 minutes, and then that's where the other people would kind of fall down, is they were dressed for movement, and so they'd start getting a little bit cold, whereas I was dressed and I was warm the whole weekend. It was fabulous.
Okay, well, I just had to Google parka because I didn't know what a parka was. I thought,
is that a Canadian thing again?
I was like, I've heard the word. And I was picturing, like, you know, when it rains and you put, like, a poncho? I was picturing, like a hand-woven, a colorful hand-woven parka from, like, an old Russian lady. That's what I was picturing. Yeah. So I'm glad I Googled it. It's a coat, right?
It is a very big coat. The one that I have is very big because it's made for the oil rig workers out in the middle of the ocean in the wintertime.
Okay.
So, yes, it's beautiful. I love it. It's one of my absolute most favorite items that I own.
So, that being said, what is your favorite season?
Fall. I love the fall. I don't know. There's something about the crunch of leaves, and it's, like, I like spring, but it's kind of, it gets a little too warm for me too quickly. I like the fall because it's nice and cool, and the crunchy leaves and the colors, and, I mean, it just, to me, there's so much activity in the fall, and I don't know, I just love everything about the fall.
Well, speaking of activity, have you ever had any animal encounters in the forest with the kids?
Oh, well, there's actually quite a funny story around animals and the kids, because I get this question a lot. I've had quite a few animal encounters myself, but never any with the forest school, because all of the animals are extremely frightened of the children. I'm very fortunate to work at Springwater Park, and Beausoleil First Nations runs the actual park, there was a fox. Where we were at, there's two parking lots, and where we were at was on the other side of the one parking lot. And so there was a fox that was in the parking lot, and one of the gentlemen who worked for the park saw the fox and thought, oh, you know, it'd be really nice. It was just like one of the small foxes. Really nice for the kids to kind of see this fox. So the fox is sitting in the parking lot, like, just staring in our direction as the kids are all yelling and screaming. So he starts, like, trying to shoo it over, like, go over and shoo it. And it just looks at him like, I'm not moving, buddy. He's like, okay, I can do this. So he's like, I can do this. So he gets like, they have, like, these little golf cart gator things. And so he starts, like, driving towards the fox, thinking the fox, nope. The fox is like, I will take on your gator. I am not going near the So we don't get a lot of animal encounters because generally the animals hear the noise and run far away. Bugs get a lot of bugs. Every so often we'll get birds, but even those are, you know, with the noise and stuff. I've had a lot of animal encounters with just my children and myself because they're a little quieter. But generally speaking, the kids are very involved in the play, and being very involved in the play generally means very loud with the play. So we have squirrels. We have a squirrel that that the children have named Bunny because they wish it was a bunny. they really wanted to have a bunny at main camp, but we don't. So they've nicknamed our little squirrel Bunny, and he comes around. And so we have quite a lot of squirrels because they're fairly brave around the kids. But yeah, not too much of anything else.
Well, you mentioned bugs, and I'm going to skip a question to get to this one. Have you ever eaten a bug?
On purpose?
Oh, I was going to say on purpose. Because as soon as it came out of my mouth, I thought about the millions of bugs that have flown in my mouth. I know
I've eaten many bugs, not on purpose. Uh-huh. I don't know if I've ever eaten bugs. I don't think so.
Good. Ew. That would be gross.
I think that would likely be a memorable experience, and I don't ever recall.
Yeah, I don't think you'd forget that.
No. And I've never been on Survivor, so.
Ooh, that would be fun to see. So, yeah. You mentioned it earlier that you went and got training to start your forest school. Where did you get your training?
Oh, I went down to Cedar Song. Yes, I should have mentioned that. Cedar Song, which is down in the States, and it's out of Seattle, Washington. So that was, that was about 5 years ago I went. Yeah, it was a fabulous little place. I got lots of cute little kids. So
you went there, and the kid, you know, what does their training look like? Like, the kids were there, and you worked alongside them in an already operating forest school, or how did that look?
Yeah, they have a forest school there, so the training was a combination of doing observation, and then we would do, a chunk of observation, and then Erin Kenny is the one who runs it, so then she would pull us aside and chat with us about some of the things that we just observed in processes. I was very lucky to do the training with another woman, Carolyn, I can't remember how to pronounce her last name, but she was working at a university, and so she had a lot of the theoretical. I had a lot of the theoretical because of the job that I did, so we did a lot of kind of shop talk about what was happening and the processes that were happening, so it was fabulous. And then in the afternoons, we would meet, and then just basically do huge chunks of how to run a forest school and how to do that. And then at the end of it, we got sheets. And so we had to do some homework and things like that. So
I'm going to go off for 1 second and say, I think it would be really cool if at Pep Rally, I know you're doing your wonderful workshop on risk, but I think it would be cool if you did, I don't know what to call it, like a mini session or some type of outdoor session where you just talk to them about kind of what forest school looks like what your job is, like what do you do, the facilitating of the play.
Oh yeah, I actually have a workshop for that. Woohoo! Mm-hmm. where I basically discuss what the basic philosophy behind forest school, which also includes the forest leader's role and how they are to be with the kids and how the school runs and everything. So, yeah, maybe you and I can chat. Maybe we'll add a workshop. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I'll wait till the next year and we'll do that one next year.
Well, that's a long time to wait, but that is an idea.
But see, I want to go and see because I've done conferences where I've done, because usually when I go to a conference and speak at a conference, I do one workshop, and I tried to do two. I think I only did it one time, and I found that with doing two, I felt like I wasn't seeing enough of everybody else.
Yeah, that's what happened last year. I was missing some good stuff.
Exactly. So I kind of like just to stick with one. So, but we can definitely chat, maybe not for this year, but for the year after, I can do some chat on forest schools and what it means and everything.
Mm-hmm. What it's all about. Okay, so who inspires you? Who's your inspiration, or what is your inspiration?
Oh, who inspires me? The kids, honestly. It's the kids that inspire me. Like, just watching them and what they're doing and what they're learning and all the things that are coming out and, you know, watching them just bloom and blossom and become more of who they are. You know, that's totally inspirational, watching them.
Wonderful. Let me ask the question a different way. Who in the ECE world, like, whether it be like a program or a style of program or a philosopher or a writer or a speaker.
I know where you're going. Mm-hmm. I can't even answer the question now. Peter Gray.
Okay, I could answer that for you. Yeah. That's where I'm going.
Yes, I love Peter Gray.
Go ahead and confess. Profess your love for him. Go ahead.
My professional love for him. Uh-huh. Yeah, I follow everything that Peter Gray does. All the self-directed learning stuff, all the, you know, stuff about play and society and kids and learning and how kids learn, you know, it's fabulous. Like, I read it and it's, you know, everything that I'm thinking on paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, what book are you reading right now, or what book have you most recently read?
Let's see. I'd have to look in. Can you give me a minute? I will look in my Kindle and answer.
Go ahead, girl. Look in your Kindle.
Let's see.
She's probably rereading Peter Gray's Free to Learn for the 70th time.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Okay, so Free to Learn is. I do have World Class Learners First. I don't know if that one counts because I read that for my Masters of Education program. But I've read it since then, so I guess it would count. So I have World Class Learners by, oh gosh, I wouldn't even know how to say his name. Yang Zhao, Zhao. And he does a lot of talking about learning and different, like, kind of more self-directed learning or alternative ways of learning. And then, yeah, beside that's Peter Gray. And then beside that is It's Okay Not to Share.
Woohoo! So when you're not reading and when you're not wearing parkas and when you're not accidentally eating bugs, what do you do? What are your hobbies outside of all that?
Hobbies. Well, I'm very much into sustainability and environmentalism, so I spend a lot of time obsessing over things that people don't give a thought about, like my water usage.
Oh, my goodness.
My electricity usage. I heat my wood right now. I'm looking at my wood stove. Just wonderful, wonderful heat. So, yeah, worrying about my electricity usage. I do solar energy in the summertime almost completely. Just a lot of, like, kind of sustainability stuff and local food. I try and do local food. So a lot of my life is spent doing kind of research on how to become a more sustainable person.
Got you. I didn't know that about you, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe you can help me, because I really want to be that way. Like, I want to think that way, and I want the school to run that way, so maybe you can help me make it happen. Next question. When's the last time you climbed a tree?
It's a little slippery right now. I think was the last time I climbed a tree.
Oh.
Yeah, it would have been September.
Was it just for fun, or were you, like, retrieving a child or something?
Oh, no, I don't retrieve children from trees. They climb down on their own.
You've never had a child? You've never had a child who went up in a tree and refused to come down? Because I surely
no,
have.
I have not.
I have.
You need to come to my risk presentation, because how you set up risk will basically make it in a way so that that never happens. Because
well,
you teach the children. Yes, you. What? Oh, sorry, I shouldn't even say you teach the children. You teach yourself. Mm-hmm. How to manage risks so that the children are aware that they're responsible for themselves. So they don't make decisions.
They're aware. This particular child, that's the way they are. They went up there and they were like, well, you know, I'm not coming down. It wasn't, It was, I'm not coming down. Like, I'm going to live in this tree.
And oh, good. I would be like, good for you. Would you like me to bring you your lunch?
Good for you, but we need to go back to school, so let's get down from the tree now, Bobby.
That's the nice thing about forest school, because we're at forest school. Yeah. They can stay in the tree.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the last time I climbed a tree. Okay. Have you ever had to use a tree outside in the woods?
Like,
you know what I mean?
Like daily? Like,
oh my
when
God.
Do I not use a tree?
I had to do it once. And my other teacher, she's so funny. She's like, I can't do it. I can't do it because I know I'm going to get poison ivy. She thinks she's going to get poison ivy in her butt if she goes pee outside. I'm like,
does she know what it looks like?
Yes, she does. She's convinced that it happened to her when she was younger and that it will happen to her. So she's like, out there holding it. I was like, girl, you better use the bathroom. But that's hilarious. She's like, no,
well,
I just...
If it's really that bad, she can make a bucket. You just get a bucket and
ew.
A pool noodle.
Ew.
And a garbage bag.
What does the pool noodle do? Oh, you know what? That's so funny you said that. I just saw that online. But I didn't read it. I didn't read it. So I had no idea what it was about. But now that I'm putting two and two together, I'm like, a bucket? You don't want to know.
What else
would it do? I know. You don't want to know what I thought the pool noodle was for when you first said it. Okay. Let me clear my dirty mind. Okay. Well, maybe I'll make her a bucket. Okay. So, next question is... Oh, that's so funny. I must have really liked the did you pee in the woods question because I did it twice, but I worded it differently.
The first
one was like, have you ever peed in the forest? And the other one's like, have you ever gone potty in the woods? So I really like that question. What would you do if a flash storm happened in the middle of a session? Like, you and the kids, you were out there in the thick of it. What'd you do?
We had I don't know if it'd be considered a flash storm, but we've had two storms. We've had to cancel like basically the what we do is we cancel if there is thunder and lightning, just because, you know, you don't want to be outside when there's lightning. So the basic premise is we've had it happen twice. The first time it happened when the park was closed. So the difference between that is parents couldn't come in to pick up. So what we did was we stayed near the top. And it was actually quite funny that day because it wasn't supposed to thunderstorm, but it looked really kind of dark and ominous. And so I said, well, we'll go in a little bit, but I don't really want to go too far. And then literally we were just going down the hill at the beginning of the forest school. And yeah, and then we heard this rumble. I went, all right, we're turning around, going back.
Run!
We turned around and it started to rain. So we went up the hill. We weren't that far. We were only about 2 minutes from the car. And then... So the safety plan is to get into the car because there's rubber wheels on it. So that's the safest place to be in a thunderstorm is in the car. Mm-hmm. So everybody piles into the car with the rubber wheel, or well, it's a van. So
everybody piles into your van. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Love it.
Whenever it's forecast to be somewhat bad, you know, like possibility of thunderstorms every day, that happens, I clean out the back of the car the back of the van, because the back of the van folds down. So there's enough room for everybody to sit, like all the children to sit in the back part of the van. So then we have our safe place to go. The second time,
that's so fun for them, though. I bet you they're like,
oh my god, they loved it. They were like, can we do this tomorrow? And I'm like, no.
Oh, that's funny.
Because, you know, the next time we might actually get hit. So the next time it happened inside the park, so it wasn't that bad. And we were able to go to a very large, large sheltered area. It's quite a large shelter. It wasn't a small shelter at all. So, and I think the actual shelter actually has lightning features on it because it is so large. So it, like, dissipates the lightning. So we just waited under there, and then parents came, because there's a little driveway that goes up to that shelter. So the parents came right to the shelter and picked up right from there. So, yes, we shelter and run.
Yeah, shelter. If you were an animal, which one would you be?
Oh, if I was an animal, which one should I... Oh, do not ask this to a forest school leader.
I know.
This is a difficult question.
I really enjoyed coming up with this one.
Yeah. I'm going to go with beaver.
I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I'm going to have to go
I really
beaver.
Need to know why you're going to be beaver. I'm sure you have a great...
Because a beaver is very patient and hardworking. But they love the woods, and they're, and, you know, and it has an important job, you know, because it keeps dams, it makes its home and dams, and it allows other creatures to live and survive because of that. So I think I would choose the beaver.
Wow, you would think that you already knew that question, which, guys, she really didn't. That was a really good answer. I feel like you've thought about this when you're, like, alone at night.
Forest school leader thoughts.
That's her new blog, my thoughts. Yeah. Okay, last question. Really, it's not really the last one because I did one twice, so... It's the last one I have, unless I think of something else, okay? What's your favorite quote, and why?
My favorite quote, actually, it's on my Facebook page, my personal page, and it says, I don't want to protect the environment. I want to create a world where the environment doesn't need protecting. So definitely my favorite quote, because it kind of gets across that idea that's why I do what I do, because I want the kids that I work with to, you know, feel that connection that comes natural to them, to our earth and where we are. And, you know, I want them to kind of go forth from there. And, like, when they were putting in a playground, we had one area where we were doing kind of, in the afternoon, we do sort of like a period of time where everybody kind of gets to play by themselves. And so there's this area that we were doing, and it was a big sand pit. And so in the sand pit, it used to have a playground in it, but they took the playground out because it was deemed not to be safe. And so what ended up happening is, they were supposed to put one in this coming spring, so we had some time to kind of talk about it. But what ended up happening was everything got fast-tracked. So literally it was, yeah, there's a playground going in next week. Mm. And one of the children was extremely upset by this, he did not want the playground to go in because he said it was going to wreck his land. That's what he said specifically. It's going to wreck my land. So he got very upset. He was going to protest the park.
I love it.
He was organizing to do the protest. But thankfully, he was interrupted by the wonderful person who runs Beausoleil, from Beausoleil. And so he talked with him, and they agreed to move the sand to a different area. So,
That's awesome.
Yeah, like that's why I love that quote, because that's what I'm looking for at the forest school, you know. I want to be a participant in creating a world where, you know, we don't need to protect the world because everybody just does. Everybody feels that connection.
Mhm. Okay, we're going to end it with this question.
Oh no.
I do have another one. I feel like I skipped one, so I think this is one that I either didn't write out or I skipped. Okay. In three words, describe your forest school in three words.
Oh, that's a hard one. This one you should have given me in advance.
I know. It is a hard one. I mean, any three words you say, you'll probably, you know, get off the show and then think of three other words. Oh, I should have said those. So just say the three that are in your mind now.
It's actually, it's similar to what our podcast is, which is like digging deep. Well, I guess that's four. Digging deep.
No cheating.
Darn.
What's one word for digging deep?
Yeah, really? Can we make that into one word? All right, how about two then? Digging deep.
Okay.
That's it right there. We'll do two words. Two's even better than three. So there we go. Digging deep.
Awesome. Well, now that we know so much more about you, can you tell us how we can get in touch with you outside of this podcast?
Oh, yes. I have my Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Barry Forrest Kindergarten. So you can go to there and get a link to the blog, and which I probably should update. I haven't written on in quite a while. But I'm usually posting stuff. I'm just coming back from vacation. So I'm usually going to be posting stuff onto there about different things about play. And then we have our Dirty Playologist page as well, right? /Dirty Playologist. Is that right?
Sounds about right to me.
And how about you? How do we get a hold of the questioner?
The questioner. My Facebook page is facebook.com/discoveryearlylearning. And the website is discovery-play.com. And you can find me in those two places anytime, anywhere. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to 20 Questions with Barbara Sheridan. Bye-bye.
And up next, I get my revenge with my 20 questions.
I'm scared. All right, bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
This has been the Dirty Playologist. Back next week with another episode. Thanks for listening.
You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.